Amen. At this time, we're going to hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
First Lady's going to bring the word this morning.
Amen.
She's been, she goes upstairs to study because I watch the games. And I can hear her screaming up there. And I go to the door and say, "Everything all right up there?" Ooh, loud. She's just going off up there. Then next time she come running down the stairs. Let me tell you, I said, "Don't tell me nothing. I want to hear it with church." She said, "Okay." She be sitting there squirting. And I could tell in my spirit, "Oh, God didn't give her a hot one." Amen. So I want you to put your hands together this morning for First Lady of this church, my wife, in the house. Pastor Christina.
Transgressions and our iniquities, Heavenly Father. We ask that you continue to be in our lives as we go forth and study your word and partake of this spiritual bread, Heavenly Father. Let it be something that will encourage us, edify you, magnify you, as we glorify you, and let it be an application to our lives. We're nothing without you. We give you honor, glory, and praise. For this, we pray this prayer in your precious Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, before we are seated, everyone pull out your Bibles. You know how we are. And we are going to read the scripture together. Okay, I'll read it real fast. I want you guys to stand with me, okay? Amen. We're going to Acts chapter 17. I would read the whole chapter, but we're not. For time's sake, Therese. The game will come on at 3:30. We all have it. Let's us say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that have made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offsprings. For as much then as we are of the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto God, unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius and the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, the other, and others with them. You may be seated. Amen to the word.
Amen.
So, the title of this message is Spiritual Racism. Spiritual Racism. And as one of the icon women's of talk show, may she rest in peace, she was very controversial, but one of the things I always loved was she said, and that was Joan Rivers, and she said, can we talk?
Yeah.
Can we talk?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about spiritual racism. So let's define spiritual. Spiritual is an adjective. It is defined as relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. Racism is defined as the belief that a particular race is superior or inferior to another, that a person's social and moral traits are predetermined by his or her unborn biological characteristics. Racism is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior. So let's look at some of our spiritual racism. As Pastor and I were coming back from bowling last weekend, we came across some churches along I-75, just as soon as you cross into Michigan. And there were some Baptist churches that was, and it said Baptist on it, and it was, I'm pretty sure, because I looked it up, they were Anglo-Saxon Baptist Church. And then there are some Baptist church that are only African-American. Spiritual racism. Because the Anglo-Saxon Baptist Church don't want the African-Americans to be in their church. And the African-Americans don't want the Anglo-Saxons to be in their church. Spiritual racism.
Yeah.
And then you have those good old boys clubs in the realm of religion and spirituality, where they feel as though only the men can you deliver you. Only the men can preach to you. Only the men can go to the Lord for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Excluding the women of God.
Yeah.
Spiritual racism.
Yeah. Yeah.
They feel as though women just aren't good enough for that.
Yeah.
And then you have those religious spiritual racisms, where there is the Muslims and everyone else. I'm just going to say that. The Muslims against everyone else. If you're not Muslim, you're not Christian. You're not Buddhist. All of these are spiritual racism, because the Muslims think that their race is, their spirituality is better than anyone else. Anyone who is not serving Allah is doomed to death. Unfortunately, they haven't read the word either, because Allah is God.
Yeah.
But we also know that Jesus is the door.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. You can't go, you can't get to Allah without going through Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, I have the Holy Spirit here for you until I come back. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So now that we got a definition, oh, but guess what? Guess what else? I had the opportunity of researching spiritual racism. We're going to take it back to the beginning.
All right.
To Genesis.
Yes.
God said, let us make man in our image. So he made man. He created man. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He made him mankind. That means man, male and female.
Yeah.
He made us spiritual beings first. We were spiritual beings first.
Right.
And then, as Pastor so eloquently put it a couple weeks ago, when God had formed everything on the ground, he didn't cause it to rain yet. Y'all remember that sermon?
Right.
He didn't. It was Adam. The disobedience started right then and there.
Right.
So because Adam formed it to wet the ground and rain on it, guess what? God had to take a spiritual being and make him human.
Right.
Because he had to have somebody to till the earth.
Right.
Somebody had to take care of the earth. So we go back to spiritual racism way back to Genesis. Remember, nothing that's in this book has not already happened. Nothing that's going on in our lives today, it has already happened. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, now, so let's get back to chapter 17. Now, chapter 17, the book of Acts. Luke is the author and a physician. And he was one of the apostles that rode with Paul after his transition. So in Acts 17, Paul is in his second missionary journey. He's on his second missionary journey. So starting with the first with the first few verses of chapter 17, Paul reaches Thessalonica. And Thessalonica is the capital of Macedonia. Now, Paul had been there for a few weeks because he was trying to reason with the Jews about this message, this new doctrine that he has been preaching.
Yeah.
So he's trying to reason with the Jews in the synagogue and let them know that the Messiah that you guys are still looking for, he came. Who you guys are still looking for has already came. He was reasoning in the scriptures in the first part of chapter 17. He's reasoning with the Jews. You know how we are? We try to reason with somebody to get them to see our point of view, our side of it. And we like, okay. But listen, remember, this is what happened. The Messiah that you guys are looking for, the Messiah that you guys are teaching about from the Old Testament scripture, who I'm talking about, that is he.
All right, now, man.
Jesus had to be incarnated into human flesh.
Yeah.
He had to come down here. He had to suffer. He had to die. And he had to rise again. Yeah. This is what Paul was trying to tell the people in Thessalonica.
Yeah.
This is what his message was to them. Now, in Thessalonica, they had a bunch of Jews that were still, he's trying to reason with. But they also had, in Macedonia, now understand something. The country of Macedonia is very, very intellectual people. The Greeks are very bought. They are known for being very intellectual. They are smart. They have a plethora
of knowledge. Now, not saying that all of it, knowledge and philosophy, but not saying that all of it is scriptural, but they pride on being very articulate and intelligent beings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, not only was Paul reasoning with the Jews, he was also reasoning with the Greek officials, those intellects. And it was not just the men, but it was the women also. And these women, I think I'm going to have to listen more of this. They were not just individuals that were sitting idly by while the men were being boisterous, but they were boisterous as well. Okay? Amen. So, and Paul's sitting here trying to reason with those in the synagogue. And synagogue, it was always common for visiting rabbis to come, such as Paul, to come and address the gatherings in the synagogue. Yes. So, why? Because a synagogue is just like a church. It was already built. It was already established. So you had meetings, you had gatherings. They even had, you know, when we have a board meeting, they go off into their back board meeting as well. So a synagogue was also always a place to be heard. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now here's the problem. These Jews in Thessalonica, they really did not care to hear about Jesus Christ being the Messiah,
right?
Yeah. Which is the problem today. They still are looking for the Messiah today, not taking in the fact that Jesus Christ has already done that. Amen?
Amen.
So what they did was they got some people who have no problem with starting stuff. You know how you were, you're in this, let's go back to junior high school. So we're in junior high school, and you know how you have an individual that is just like a S starter?
Yeah.
Y'all know what an S starter is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So y'all have this S starter. Now, this S starter will go around and pick all the individuals that they can, even those, and especially those who have no clue as to what's going on. They don't have no clue as to what's going on, but they're going to go and incorporate and then recruit every last one of you to be against this individual who's speaking up for what's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So because I don't like what you said, you know what? We're going to have a problem. Yeah. Guess what? This whole room, let's just not like what he says.
Yeah.
That is what the Jews were doing in Thessalonica. Not so much, and the word says our people suffer from lack of
knowledge.
I'm sorry, y'all sounded a little sleepy on that. You suffer from lack of
knowledge.
Exactly. Lack of knowledge. That is our suffering. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Thessalonica, they decided, the Jews in Thessalonica, and those that they were able to bring in, those S-starters, they came upon Paul, and they said, you know what? He's starting a whole bunch of stuff going on here. We don't know nothing about this doctrine. I think he is just turning our world upside down. Why? Because we like it the way it is. We like waiting on the Messiah. We like waiting on the Messiah. I think that we should just go ahead and stone Paul and his boys. Because, you know, Silas and Timothy was with him. So, they was like, let's get him. But, however, they were staying with a devout Christian as well. His name is Jason. They were staying at the house of Jason. And Jason and the other brother, the other Christians, they brought him in, and that's where they had been staying. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had been staying with Jason. So while they were staying with Jason, the mob from the Jewish mob from Thessalonica decided to go after them. What did they do? What did they do? They sent them out. So they went to Jason's house. They dragged Jason out. They couldn't find Paul in them. They dragged Jason out and the other Christians. And they took them before the officials at Thessalonica. Now, when they took them before the officials of Thessalonica, they told them, this is the one that's stirring up all this mess. Jason, like, I'm just a hospitality man. All I did was bring him into my home. I'm a hospitality man. So the official was like, look, Paul and his boys is not there. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. If you promise that you don't be teaching that Jesus stuff, all we're going to do now, we'll let you go. But all we're going to do is take your possessions. So imagine back in the day, you are sitting here, you're praising the Lord, and somebody come and drag you out of your home because you are a Christian, because you're loving on Jesus, and they come and pull you out of your home and tell you they're going to take your house, your car, and all of your possessions if you sit up there and scream Jesus one more time. That was back in the day.
Yeah.
Do y'all feel like that today?
Yeah.
They don't want you to be sitting up there hollering Jesus today. Right. I mean, thank God they're not going to come and take your home.
Yeah.
But they try to make you feel like something is wrong with you.
Yeah.
They try to make you feel like you are less than them because you're calling on Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Isn't that racism?
Yeah, it is.
You won't make me feel bad for calling on Jesus.
Right.
Racism. So what did Jason have to do? Jason had to say, all right, I ain't going to call on him, and please don't take my life. Because that was the next thing they was going to do, if they heard him again. So Paul goes to the next town, which is 20 miles away from Thessalonica. The next town is Berea. So Paul goes to Berea. Now, let me tell you about Berea. Berea, unlike Thessalonica, they want to prove the scriptures. So they did a little bit more studying than the ones in Thessalonica. You know, those who heard about it, like the TV evangelists do, they'll tell you about it, and people are running and screaming and shouting based upon what they heard and not what they have researched for themselves. Well, that's what they did in Berea. Berea, who also had Jews and also had God-fearing Gentile, Greek Christians, they were the ones who was researching the scripture. They were the one, and they were excited about what Paul was telling them. They were excited. They said, wow, we want to know more about this. But the Jews from Thessalonica found out that they was in Berea, and what did they do? They went over there. Y'all know that in junior high school. Y'all remember that? You were sitting at this lunch table, and then you don't move to this lunch table because you don't want to be bothered with the S starters at that lunch table. So you move to this lunch table, and guess what? The S starters from this lunch table, now they done moved over here to this lunch table. Still bothering you. Because you are still praising, you are still worshiping, you are still believing in this message that Paul has given you about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those were the people in Berea. Oh my goodness, Paul, like, what? Are you kidding me? Oh, y'all just gonna chase me, right? Okay. Okay. So what do? They take Paul and they say, you know what? We're gonna get rid of you. We're gonna leave y'all. We're gonna take you somewhere else. So they went up the coast to Athens. They did. They went to Athens. Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. But when he got to Athens, he told the Christians that escorted him to Athens, he said, okay, y'all make sure y'all go back and y'all tell Silas and Timothy to get here as soon as possible. Get here as fast as you can. While he's waiting on Silas and Timothy to come, Paul happens to be strolling through Athens. strolling through Athens. And that's where we come to our scripture. Yay! Now, so he's strolling through Athens and he sees, wow. Now, Athens, don't get me wrong, once again, we're in Macedonia, okay? So, but in Athens, they are seriously worshiping idols. Seriously idol worshiping going on. I mean, they got an idol for each day of the week and every month of the year. All up and down the corridor, down the roadways and everything. So, Paul like, what is going on up in here? Me. But that did not deter Paul because he still had a message. God has still given you a message. No matter what you're coming through, if you have to relocate, don't leave your message back there from the first place that you were at.
Come on.
You take it with you. It's the same message. The same message we are still talking about is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I'm going to go up a little bit. And I'm going to start at verse 17. Therefore, disputed in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans, thank you, Pastor, of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Now, the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers, these individuals originally taught that the supreme good is happiness. But it's not momentarily momentary pleasure or temporary gratification. This was in the beginning. So the Stoic philosophers also taught that people should live in accordance with nature, recognizing their own self-sufficiency and independence, and suppress their desires. That was the Greek philosophy that they had, the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers. That's what they thought. Everything had to do with nature. And now, I want the knife. I gotta see that again. But they still did not believe in Jesus Christ being the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So then, this was way before 600 BC. Now, by the time Paul had arrived to Athens, now they're no longer thinking about nature and suppressing yourself. Now it's all about pride. It's about me.
Yeah.
Y'all notice that? A lot of people who was out there and now they've given their life over to Christ, now all of a sudden, let's say sometime down the road, they're really into their ministry, and then they forgot that it was Christ who brought them to the ministry.
Yeah. Amen.
It wasn't them. No, understand something. We do have a choice. Yes, we do. We have a choice. But it is not, it's never us. It is never us. We can't save ourselves. None of us have saved ourselves.
Right.
So we have to keep in mind that there's always the pride before the fall.
Yes.
So it is not us, it's not for us to be proud or to be proud for Christians, born again believers, just because we're born again, because we're not doing some of the things that we used to do. But trust and believe, baby, we still got a long way to go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord every day that I am not what I used to be. But I still pray that, Lord, help me to change some of the things that I need to change today in me. Still. Still today. There's still some changes that needs to be made. Amen. We can't be proud about that. What you going to be proud for? Jesus, the only perfect one, walked the earth. So we can't sit up here and say we got to be proud of anything. But we're thankful that we're not what we used to be. We have to continue to have the spirit, not the spirit of pride, but the spirit of gratitude.
Amen.
Spirit of thankfulness.
Amen.
Of what we are today in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So let me tell y'all what this word babbler means. So you know how people say, oh, that's a babbler, that's a babbler, that's a babbler. I had the awesome, exciting time defining, looking up babbler. And let me tell you what it says. Babbler is a Greek word. And in the beginning, it meant seed picker. A bird picking up seeds here and there. Now, look at what it has changed to. It has come to refer to a loafer in the marketplace who picked up whatever scraps of learning he could find and paraded them without digesting them himself. So whatever he found out, whatever knowledge he gained, he went around, started parading like it was his own knowledge. Instead of doing what? Researching the scriptures himself. That's a babbler. Yeah, I know a lot of babblers, don't you?
Yeah.
I know!
Yeah.
I be sitting up there listening to them on the radio. I mean, no.
Be nice.
On TV, and I'm like, what is he talking about? Now I can really truly say that man babbling.
Yeah.
Now you can really say, whoever you hear, you can really say, nah, that's a babbler.
Yeah.
Now you know what they're babbling about, right? They have not researched the scripture for themselves. But we don't do that, do we?
No.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have, that's what Pastor tells us all the time. Do not just take our word for it. Study for yourself. Get the understanding for yourself. Because there are going to be different times and different instances where you are going to have to refer to scripture yourself. Whatever you're in, whatever capacity you're in, you could be at the grocery store. You could be at the gym working out. You can be sitting on the porch. Anything that you're coming in contact, someone comes in contact with, you have to be ready. You have to be equipped. You have to be assertive. And you have to be confident that you know exactly what the word is telling you so that you will be able to transfer that information to somebody else who does not know. Amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
So, as Paul is walking through the town of Athens, and he comes through, and he sees this one altar, and it says, to the unknown God. To the unknown God.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I told you before, Athens, they serve all idols. Every day of the week. Every different idol. You had an idol for war, you had an idol for peace, you had an idol for infertility, you had an idol for everything. Leave it at that. Okay. But what they did and I checked this out. And this is the reason why they had an idol altar to the unknown God. Because they didn't want to leave nothing out. So they don't know who this un-God is, but they didn't want to be known for failing to address everybody. So I'm just going to cover all bases. I want to cover all bases. Idol for this, a God for that, and to that unknown God I don't know nothing about. So whoever comes to town, they can worship that unknown God we don't know nothing about. But they didn't want to leave nobody out. So understand, sometimes people do things and don't know why they're doing them until they get some instruction on this is really the reason why you're doing this. And that is what we're all supposed to be doing, is have instructions on, I'm really not that kind of a person anymore. Why am I not that kind of a person anymore? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit. See, we know now, right? When we know better, we do better. Amen?
Amen.
When we know better, we do better. Amen? Amen. So because we know that the Holy Spirit is with us and why we don't want to do those things anymore, because our heart has been convicted. Only daily basis. You know, I know, let me just sidebar 1 second. I know for sure, Sam's mother was in a car accident this morning, coming to church. She was on her way, happy-go-lucky as she normally is, and she's ready to come in here, Raise your hand, Sam's mom. She's ready to come in here and just get her praise on, as she normally do. Now, the evil that surrounds her, as she was turning into a parking lot, someone came around her, sideswiped her, all of her side to swipe, and now they tried to do a hit and run. They did a hit and run. Now, when she came in here, I was like, oh, she has to use the restroom. So she went in, she used the restroom, she came out, she was like, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so. But every time, every word that came out of her mouth, it did not take that smile off her face.
Amen.
It did not take that smile off her face. So my point is, no matter what you're going through, there are going to be forces around you that's trying to distract you and keep you from what the Holy Spirit has already given inside of you.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Ain't nothing going to keep you from serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I'm sorry, I just had to share. Because and that's that spirit that we're talking about. That spirit right there keeps you moving no matter what is going on in your lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And that's the spirit that Paul had. I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to keep it moving.
Amen.
That's the spirit that he had at this time. Because he really is happy about his ministry in Macedonia. He really is excited about that. But he had to keep it moving. So now that we're back in Athens, and it's this unknown God altar that they have come across. Now we're going to 22. And I'm almost done, Therese. Now, let's look at 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Now, when he's talking about too superstitious, it can be taken in a negative way and a positive way. The negative way is superstition because you believe in idol worshiping. Then there's the religious side of it. So he believed them to be those who believe. They believed in one another thing. They either believed in the idols or they believed in the unknown God. But Paul, when he addressed them, because he's new in this town and because of the default person that he is, he didn't want to offend them. So he says, you know what? I think that you're really too superstitious for this. And he's complimenting them. Because now they're like, huh? Yeah, we are superstitious. We don't like our yeah, we are religious. That's what superstitious mean. You're either too religious or you're too superstitious.
Yeah.
So, Paul said, men of Athens, I know that you are religious men. And they like, huh? So what he was doing was getting them to lean in.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more. What are you saying? Paul, what are you saying? Well, Paul is saying that I saw this marquee of the unknown God. And what I want to do is I want to share with you that this altar that you set to the unknown God, he's really not unknown. He's really not unknown. He is the creator. He's the creator of all things. All things. Everything. Now, 24. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So he's saying, this unknown God that you have on this altar, he is the creator. He is the maker of all things. He don't need an altar. He don't need one. You don't have to put him on there saying to the unknown God. All you have to do is worship him in spirit and in truth. And this God, he done made the heavens. He done made the earth. He done made everything that fly in the air, that crawls on the ground, and he has made mankind. So he don't need you to make him this brazen altar of gold. He don't need you to worship him on this stand right here.
Amen.
He don't need that. He is the creator.
Amen.
Of all things.
Amen.
Living. Of all things breathing. He is that creator.
Yeah, amen.
So we don't need this altar for that. And this is what Paul was trying to get them to realize, is that it's not about putting our God in this little stand here, putting him on the little box here. That's not what it's about. It is about praising him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we gotta move. We gotta move. All people of the family, all people are of one family. We all are of one family. He was telling that to the Athens and to the Romans, to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the Jews, to the Gentiles,
right,
to the men, to the women. We are all one God and we'll have one plan. God planned the exact time when nations should emerge and when nations should decline. He also planned the specific area to be occupied by each nation. It was not just by chance that Paul was to go and start ministering all along the coast of Macedonia. It wasn't by chance. That's where God sent him. And it wasn't, and now mind you, he was going to the synagogues, but he was not leaving out the Gentiles. He knew, they knew that he was God-fearing, that he was a God-fearing man, but he was still trying to reach everyone as a whole. He's trying to establish the church and all these places that were serving, worshiping idols that did not know. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, even in verse 28, and I was like, wow. For in him we live and move and have our being. And certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. And I used to say all the time, Oh, for in him we move, live, and have our being. But you know, that was a Greek philosopher who said that. That was a Greek poet. He wasn't Christian. He was Greek. He was a Cretan poet from his name was Epimenides. Is that about right? Festicus? Something like that? Okay. But he was from Crete. And even we are his offspring, that's also from a Greek poet. And that's what Paul was doing. He was taking the philosophy of the Greeks and the things that other Greeks and the poets had said. Mm-hmm. He was taking it and flipping it on them.
Right.
He said that the other Sicilian poet, Aratus, he said, we are his offspring. Now, mind you, they're talking about the Greek god Zeus. That's who they were talking about. But Paul had to flip it on them and said, you yourself said this. We are his offspring. So, if that's the case, if we are his offspring, then that should who we be, shouldn't that who we should be serving? The God, you know, going up in 24:25, the God that made everything, the God who does not need to be on the altar, the God that has given us breath and life, who we move, live, and have our being. This is the Greek God that y'all talking about. This is the Christ that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he just was flipping it over and turning it around to them. Yeah. This is who I'm talking about. Yeah. Now, who y'all talking about now? And then he goes, says this. He says that, 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Winked at. This ignorance that these Athens was now were up under, he said, God winked at, which means God overlooked it. He overlooked the ignorance that they had about idol worshiping because they did not know. But since Paul has arrived and have given explanation and has changed it, now that you know, what did I just say earlier? When you know better, you do better. And now that you have this understanding now of who the unknown God is, now you're going to have to make a change. Amen?
Amen.
And making the change is, and the one that he has appointed and anointed for this time that he's going to judge is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So, when he's telling them all of this, now understand something. And he was talking about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, one thing about the Greeks, they okay. Okay, let me say this right. Okay, they're okay with immortality. Help me understand that. I don't know. Zeus, the Greek god, they're okay with those immortality gods. One thing they didn't understand, though, and they didn't appreciate, is the fact that you're talking about somebody raising from the dead. They don't like, wait a minute, now we're talking about some voodoo stuff here. I don't understand how this person going to be raised from the dead. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. So there still had some believers. There still were some Greeks and some Jews who still did not believe in the resurrection of Christ. To today, they still do not believe in the resurrection of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But, and that's where we get to the end. Those were the other ones. They were, okay, there's some more information that you got from me. I want to know more about it. So, then you have all of these Greek prominent Greeks and the Greeks, those individuals who said, you know what? I want to know more about Christ, Jesus the Christ. Not Christ Jesus, Jesus the Christ. Because now we're talking about his resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Wednesday, Pastor talked about the church, this church, Liberty Temple. And he said one thing that was profound, and it concludes my message for today. He says that this ministry has not stood because of Pastor Gardner, because of the associate ministers, because of the congregation. This ministry has stood and has sustained the test of times because God was in it. God is in it. God is in it. God is in it. Anything that we do, even the apostles, when they started the ministry, when they started the church, God was in it. Let's go to, one last page. We're going to Acts 10 and 42. 10 and Acts 42 says, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained by God to be the judge of quick and dead." Quick and dead. Quick are the living people. Dead, well, you know, they're the dead people. But it was ordained already. God was in it. He already predestined that everything that was going to happen has happened. Just like he has predestinated your life. Everything that you're going through is not by chance. Now, there are some things we can help it out with. But we know, do we not? We know when we should have went left and we went right. We know when we should have said no, when we said yes. We know when we should have said yes and we said no. We already know, but trust and believe it's already predestined. It's already predestined for you to go through what you're to go through, for what you to endure what you don't endure. But guess what? You are God's anointed and appointed, and he has already has a mission and a purpose on your life. Yeah. Keep God in it and trust and believe everything is going to work out fine. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah! Lord, we are in this. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Don't worry. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. In him. Now we can use him with the capital H. Yeah. In him we move. Yeah. We live. We have our being. In him. Walk with your head up, proud, knowing who you are and whose you are. Amen. Amen. Everyone to your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name.